Central Friday. It's Dan Riccio, Satyar Shah here in the Kintech studio. Kintech Footwear and Orthotics working together with you in step. A lot to get into on this Friday program. Ian McIntyre is going to join us from New York City. We'll also have a mailbag and legendary play-by-play man for the New York Rangers, Sam Rosen, will join us as his career is coming to an end. We'll reminisce a little bit about 94, his last time calling the Rangers Canucks. Likely is tomorrow, unless I guess these two teams meet in the Stanley Cup Finals. Huh?
So 94 was also a year where the Canucks had a pretty poor regular season, just get into the playoffs, made a big trade, and then just unexpectedly got to a cup final.
Yes.
So maybe the Canucks could somehow reprise that magic, right?
Yeah.
The Rangers are nothing like the Rangers of 94.
No.
The Rangers of 94 were like a dominant team.
They were a juggernaut. Yeah. They had everybody.
Yes.
They had Mess. They had Adam Graves, Richter in his prime, Brian Leetch. Leetch maybe one of the more underrated defensemen of that era just because, you know, there were so many good ones. But, like, Leetch was an absolute stud back
then. He was. And, I mean, when you look at that, as much as we talk about the Canucks team now having its struggles, and that team in 94 had its struggles too, but that forward group was better.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's not a high bar.
No. Yeah. But it was. It was better. I mean, it was Burré, you know, Linden, and the supporting cast. They had guys that were producing better. Obviously, the defense with Quinn Hughes would be an X factor, but it's just you know, different times.
Can't leave my boy Cliffy out of there.
He was
a gem as well. It's going to be an interesting one. We've got the open. Let's get to it here on Canucks Central.
Welcome to the open.
Oh! That's your home. Are you too good for your home? Answer me!
The open on Canucks Central, where we bring you the latest on the Vancouver Canucks and our take on it. The latest being that the Canucks were overtime losers for the 12th time this season last night against the St. Louis Blues. They had a team day off today as they arrived in New York after their loss to the St. Louis Blues last night, and sets up an early one tomorrow, 1 o'clock local time in New York, 10 a.m. here Pacific time. We'll be on 9 a.m. for the Canucks Central pregame show. Get your Spros going tomorrow morning.
So Canucks breakfast tomorrow.
Absolutely. Canucks breakfast. Canucks brunch officially starting next week. But tomorrow we'll have Canucks breakfast.
I mean, Canucks lunch.
Yeah.
Canucks dinner. Canucks snacks.
Schedule's all over the place. Yes. Sat's a big snack guy. So, you know, Canucks snacks is probably probably something we could incorporate in the future.
Like bite-size content. like 10-minute segments.
Yeah.
Here's a Canucks snack.
Here's a snack. As Sat eats a protein bar, he gives you a little Canucks tidbit. Might be a good segment for social, actually, you know.
Canucks snack.
Canucks snacks.
As I'm eating.
As Sat's just like chowing down on popcorn at the game at Rogers Arena.
And just talking about what value.
Talking about how much you like Connor Garland. And all the wonderful things he does. All right. Kidding aside, JT Miller spoke today, first time since the trade. Well, not the first time. He's been asked about it a little bit, obviously, but a bigger focus around JT in his first game against his former club as the Canucks and Rangers get set for battle tomorrow. He did say he'll be going out for dinner with a couple of his teammates tonight, but then tomorrow it's war. And so with both teams really fighting it for a playoff spot, desperation should not be an issue for both teams in this one. And I think most importantly, he admits that he needed a fresh start. He doesn't go into a ton of detail, especially he did a little bit more with Ian McIntyre, but certainly with media today, it was like, did you feel like you needed a fresh start? Yep. Okay.
All right.
That's great. And end of session, end of media availability. So it does put to bed the whole, like, choosing one or the other, which we've tried to tell you all this time.
Yeah. And obviously we don't know everything that happened. And, you know, it was always interesting hearing talk say, hey, what happened and you had to move on, you know? So it's like, obviously things occurred and it wasn't maybe just one thing or a number of different things. And I don't know if we'll ever get the truth of what truly transpired, but this was very much, at least a big component of it, a mental health issue too for JT, right?
Yeah.
For everything he was going through. And also, how did that spill over to the team, the locker room, all those other aspects of things? And I've heard this before too, JT and even Pettersson and other players have maintained that the whole Pettersson-JT thing, it probably wasn't as bad as everybody made it out to be. Obviously, it was a sore spot. But whatever was going on with JT led to him needing a fresh start.
Yeah.
And that was independent of whatever issues he and him and Pettersson had, and also independent to whatever decision the Canucks were going to make on Elias Pettersson.
Yeah. And Miller said this to Ian McIntyre at sportsnet.ca. You can read the full article there, and IMAC's going to join us here in a little bit. Quote, "I don't want to get into too much detail, but yeah, I think a fresh start was needed. I've got nothing bad to say about the Canucks or Vancouver as a city. We loved it there. It felt like home, and that's all you can ask for. But unfortunately, this is a business, and in the business end of things, it was getting difficult." Goes on to talk about Elias Pettersson. IMAC phrased it in a way that referenced Jim Rutherford's piece with the Globe and Mail and how he really brought it out into the public that it was an untenable situation between Miller and Pettersson. Here's what Miller said about that. Quote, "The whole me and Petey thing, it's still blown out of proportion. I get what Jim was doing. I have a ton of respect for Jim, and I talked with Jim after that story. I wasn't mad. I understand everybody has a job to do. Clearly, if me and Petey were better than we were, obviously this might be different. But it's also not as bad as everybody thought either. It's just an easy thing for everybody to run with. There was just a lot of moving parts." End quote. That is straight from JT Miller, and again, you can read the full piece with Ian McIntyre at sportsnet.ca. I don't know how much people are ultimately going to take his word for it, that it's been blown out of proportion, because it, to some extent, goes against what Jim Rutherford had to say about the untenable situation between the two. But that's JT Miller's take on it.
Yeah, and you know what? And whether it's that and all the other things that have happened, because we had messages like this all the time, because stuff like, you guys know what happened. Come on. Also, yeah, no one's buying the mental health stuff. Have you guys addressed Friedman saying how Hughes pretty much chose Petey? I think all those things are blown out of proportion that texter is alluding to, because we've heard so many different iterations or rumors, so to speak, about what actually happened behind the scenes. Like, was there a conflict, and what occurred, what didn't occur, you know, like all those different things we've heard. There are a lot of different versions of the story.
Yeah.
Right. And until somebody that really was there confirms it one way or another, you don't know for sure. That's why nobody in the media, so to speak, is publicly talking about it or saying this happened generally, because nobody that you would truly trust to know in the situation that was there has been willing to speak on the issue, right? So we don't know exactly what happened. I think we have to settle that. Like, we don't know for sure what happened. Nobody does.
I don't know if we'll ever get to a point where we have enough concrete details of what happened outside of maybe one of these guys tells the story themselves.
Yeah, and if you're looking at, like, you know, sourcing something properly, getting a couple of sources to confirm something significant, like, properly, that it's hard to do in this situation, right? So let's just address that one way or another. As far as, you know, how the Canucks chose, how Hughes chose Petey, well, Hughes showed belief in Petey, right? Mm-hmm. I think that's true. At the same time, the Canucks, whether they were on the verge of trading Pettersson or not, they were very much willing to go deep in conversations with the Carolina Hurricanes about Pettersson. Like, so Pettersson, at the very least, they were exploring trading him pretty seriously here, right? So I think that's the thing to keep in mind. It doesn't mean Pettersson's going to get traded, but just keep that in mind in this whole situation. The Canucks were very much willing to move both guys if the right deal was there in season. Obviously, that never happened, right? They moved JT. There was nothing on Pettersson that really came together. But on the Pettersson thing, like, if Carolina would have said yes.
Yeah.
Pettersson is a hurricane.
If they chose Petey over Rantanen, we got a different story here, right? And obviously that's not the case. Pettersson started to play better, and things happened the way that they happened. Rocket and Langley, with a good text, right after they released the JFK files, they're going to release the JT Elias Pettersson 40 files.
Yeah, I can see that. Yeah. Well, I mean, this entire season, honestly, like, you know, we joke about the 30 for 30.
Yeah.
Like, we do need, like, a proper deep dive into, like, what actually happened this year.
Yeah. A 30 for 30 would be pretty good on it. Again, you know, it's... For now, it's like there's also an element of he said, she said. And
yeah.
So it's really difficult to get an exact timeline and exact concrete details on what happened to really send this season sideways.
Yeah. And honestly, like this is what I mentioned when the trade happened. JT is as responsible as anybody else for not being a Canuck anymore.
Yeah.
This wasn't, you know, he held Pettersson accountable and the team said, oh, you can't do that after asking him to do that. And now he's upset about it and he wants to get traded. Like, it wasn't that simple. That's not what happened here. And we don't know, again, exactly what happened. But JT bears responsibility for this.
I think there's blame to go around, but JT definitely has a piece of the pie on it.
100%.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't think, you know, history should be revised in a way that, you know, JT was just being JT and the Canucks said, no, you can't be that way to Pettersson, so we're trading you. Like, I think that's how some people view it in a very oversimplistic way. And that's really not what happened.
It's Dan Riccio and Satyar Shah here on Canuck Central. And, you know, there's still a game to be played tomorrow. Elias Pettersson continued his point streak last night, set up Brock Besser for the tying goal that gave the Canucks a share of the spoils against St. Louis last night. Also had a pretty ugly turnover in overtime that led to St. Louis's winner, channeling his inner JT Miller's gaffes in overtime that got so much play in the past. All those things considered, early on after the trade, everybody was like, hey, JT is scoring. He's doing great with the Rangers. Pettersson had Miller's got more goals than Pettersson has shots in his last eight games. And that was the story. And now it's kind of flipped where JT's gone ice cold lately and Pettersson has started to get hot in recent games for the Canucks, at least from a production standpoint. Who has the bigger game tomorrow?
I think Pettersson does.
Really?
Yeah, I think Pettersson does. He's been the guy, I think.
I think the opposite.
You think JT's going to have the big... I think JT's going to have a louder game. I think Pettersson might have the more effective game.
Yeah.
Like, outside of making that mistake in overtime, and that was a pretty bad overtime, like he has 10 points in his last eight games.
Yeah.
He's been playing a lot better. He's being far more effective. He's making good plays.
He had a pretty quiet game for the first 40 minutes. Like, nothing all that bad, nothing all that great either. And then in the third period, that line turned it up and made a difference with the two goals from Brock Besser, Pettersson getting an assist on both of them. Didn't love that he didn't have a shot on goal, so he didn't seem threatening from a goal dangerous perspective. Want to see more of that from Pettersson. Want to see him continue to build there. But he's like, his game is in a better spot, but I feel like JT is, he's going to be up for it tomorrow. I don't know who has more money on the board tomorrow. Is it Pettersson or is it JT? But I feel like it might be JT.
Yeah, and
like
JT might.
My guess would be JT Miller's going to have more money on the board.
Yeah, but maybe
game. He
psychs himself out. We know JT, like that may not always, you know, play to his benefit.
Right. He gets too hyped up,
too amped up. Or maybe he starts getting, you know, like nervous around the Canucks again. The bad feelings come back.
In any case, it's a massive one tomorrow. As JT put it, it's going to be a war. And after he goes out for dinner with some of his buds on the team tonight, he's going to flip that page. And tomorrow they will be enemies after puck drop, just after 10 a.m. Pacific time here on Sportsnet 650 and across the Sportsnet radio network. Both teams really need the win. Like, I know the Canucks getting a point still helped them last night, like a lot, getting that one extra point. But you still start to do the math. And I'm not so much thinking about like, hey, this is the game they have to win, that game they have to have. Like, yeah, we can go through that as the games come. Ultimately, what's it going to take to get into the postseason? And that's where I'm having a little bit of trouble, because Calgary winning last night, that helps their cause. They still have a game in hand on both the Canucks and two games in hand on the Blues. But I still feel like the Blues have a better chance of getting to 92 points, 93 points even. And then if you're the Canucks, you've got to get into that range, maybe up to 94. Can you collect 18 of the remaining 26 points on the schedule? Like, that's a pretty big task to ask of this team that's been inconsistent all season long.
You know, last night's game didn't change too much, but the biggest thing it did was allow the Blues an easier pathway to get above 92 points.
Yeah.
They don't need to do anything too crazy now, right? Like, they, you know, we talked about this heading into the game last night, that if you blank the Blues completely, they have to go something like, you know, they would have to win 8 or 9, actually, of the remaining 12 games to get to 93 points, 94 points, which is, you know, a big ask. Now, they don't have to do that. They can go 8-4 or even 7-5, maybe, potentially, right? Like, they can do those things and still get to, like, over 90 points, which puts a lot of pressure on Vancouver to do what you just said. They have to collect a lot. Like, it's not just, hey, just win more than you lose.
Yeah.
It's legitimately playing like 700 hockey the rest of the way to ensure you're making the playoffs.
The Blues have 7 games remaining against non-playoff teams. They got Chicago tomorrow, 2 more against Nashville. They still have Detroit and Pittsburgh on the schedule. Also, a couple of matchups with Seattle and Utah in the final day. So both of those teams won't have much to play for. Utah's, I know they won last night, but they'll probably be home and cooled out by then and not making the playoffs unless they go on a real big run, because they are even behind the Canucks and the Flames, of course. So tough ask for them. But the Blues looked good last night too. So it's really an issue for the Canucks. Getting 9 out of a possible, you know, 13, 9 wins out of a possible 13. Maybe you can go 8, but you maybe need an overtime loss in there at some point, you know, in one of the games that you do drop. It's a really big ask, and one that's probably even tougher to imagine the Canucks doing if Quinn Hughes looks as banged up as he did at moments last night. Like, he still made a difference at different parts of the game, but there was also moments where you're like, that's not the Quinn Hughes we know.
We just have to accept that this is what it's going to be like with Quinn the rest of the season. He might have a game where he looks really good and feels good, and he's going to have nights when he's not feeling good. He's got, like, what, 3 ailments he's dealing with?
Yeah.
And talk had confirmed he's not going to be, I wouldn't say anywhere near 100%, but he's not going to be 100%. Now, talk had also did preface that by saying nobody is in the NHL, but you could infer that it's more than just a little banged up. Like, he's playing through something relatively significant, right? And there's no breaks.
No.
There are none. It's every second night. It's every other night the rest of the way. There is a back-to-back. The only break the Canucks get is after, at the end of March, after they come back from their 6-game road trip. They get 2 days off, play a game, have 2 days off.
Yeah.
And then it's back to every other night plus a back-to-back. And then the season's over.
And, like, they've just finished a 14 games and 26-night stretch.
Yes. So there is no breaks coming. The only break you have is that 1 game in 5 nights.
Yeah.
And I'm not even sure that that's enough of a break, 2 days off, game 2 days off, for anyone to fully recuperate, right?
Yep.
So how is Quinn getting better? He's not. Like, Quinn's, if he keeps playing, it's because he's playing through it. And we're just going to have to accept that sometimes it's not going to look great.
And St. Louis, like, hey, they've had a heavy schedule as well. They've been healthier than the Canucks have. What was the stat, like, Tomlinson and Shorty had early in the game last night? They've gone like 10 or 11 straight games with the same forward group, the same lines and everything else. You know, they've just been a lot healthier than the Vancouver Canucks.
They have missed Parayko, but they still found a way to be very successful without him.
And Cam Fowler has really stepped up for them. They've had some good moments, and they looked really good last night. For the most part, they dominated the game. Canucks, I felt like the last two losses, I know, you know, they were close against Utah. They had the chances with the power play, but they looked really fatigued in that game. Just the way that they were able to defend okay, but it's offensively where, when you got to work to get your chances offensively as hard as the Canucks do, that's where I think you notice the fatigue even more so. And last night I heard Woodley on earlier with Canucks Talk with Josh and Bick, and Woodley said they had 3 high danger chances in all last night, and they scored on 3 mid danger chances on Jordan Binnington. So, you know, when you are fatigued, especially if you're the Canucks, it's the offense that's taking the hit more than their defensive game is. And that's what's that's where you're really feeling it. And that's where you feel it most with Quinn Hughes. You know, moments in the third period where, you know, he's just kind of ripping shots from the blue line. He's not really doesn't have the jump to find a shooting lane, really, and he's just kind of throwing it into bodies, and it's not really doing a ton. Like, those are the moments you notice the fatigue almost more than anything else with Quinn Hughes.
Yeah, you see some of the decision-making, even defensively, which I think you can attribute to fatigue and probably dealing with pain, yeah. right? And you're not making the best decisions. But saying all that, the play he makes on Buchnevich on the red line with seconds to go, to create the pass to Pettersson.
It kind of felt like the Nashville game in the playoffs
against Nyquist. Yeah. He sends him to the shadow realm. I mean, but he's capable of magic like that. He still does a lot of positive, that he provides more good than bad, but there will be a couple of nights, and we saw it like last night, where it's like, yeah, a couple of the goals you can attribute to Quinn not being at his best. You usually can't say that, right? Yeah. But you'd rather have him in the lineup than not, right?
Always. Canucks Central Roundup. Canucks had a day off today, meaning they'll probably practice Sunday. And if Demko takes in a full practice, that could potentially set up a return for Monday against the Devils. So that's something to keep an eye on. But expect Kevin Lankinen to get the start tomorrow against the New York Rangers in what is another big game. They're all big ones now for the Vancouver Canucks. Ian McIntyre is going to join us. His take on JT Miller, who he spoke with for an exclusive interview at Sportsnet.ca earlier this week, as he sets up the game against Miller and the Rangers tomorrow. That's next on Canucks Central.